Hey everybody, this is Fast Times with Darren, on the Probably Political Channel. I am the socialist commie and the great, great person who I am, the host with the most, Darren Navarez. And today I'd like to get to the point of how America is socialist. Actually, no, it's not socialist. America was founded on socialism, but socialist and socialism, Marxism and anarchism has provided a great, great structure, a great backbone for the United States. Throughout our history in the United States, from the founding to the early 1800s, to the mid-1800s, to the late-1800s, to the early-1900s, to the mid-1900s, all the way up to today, where we have people claiming to be democratic socialists. And one of the hugest in recent history, movement of socialists within the United States, thanks to part of the young people, the youth generation, the millennials and Gen Z, who are pushing for progressive values. And pushing for a fairer, more just system. We're going to go over a couple of points today, and we enjoy it, actually. It should be a really fun episode. It should be, hopefully, takes a few minutes. Okay, for first off, we're going to start off with even before America was America. Well, before the United States was actually the United States, going all the way back to the mid to late 1700s, with Thomas Paine, who wrote Common Sense, Age of Reason, and Rights of Man, who, I mean, basically this guy was a journalist, propagandist, and a revolutionary, in a way. He's the one that influenced and basically tried to get funding for the Revolutionary War that it took to found the country. And his ideas spread, and he was also hated later on in life. He was hated by most of the founding fathers for his use of government, his policies, his belittlement of George Washington, who he considered to be a great friend until Thomas Paine went to prison in France. But besides that, his ideas kind of even span off to today with the, he thought, you could trace back his roots into the Age of Reason and the Rights of Man, particularly, when he was talking about a UBI, essentially, because he thought that if you didn't have land, then he thought if you didn't have land, right, that if you didn't own land, it'd be hard for you to participate in, democracy and voting and basically everything. So he thought that people that own land should, and made money off this land, should be giving a portion. I think it was called, silver shillings, or some type of that, to, proportionally, so much land you have to the people that didn't own land. So they could eventually afford to buy land, or they could afford to actually have a decent living, and they could actually participate in democracy. That's one of the things. A couple of the others was the, he was really early into the abolition movement of slavery, influential in the revolutionary period. Now, he wasn't a socialist per se, but he was a deist. He believed in one God, and he believed in, at the time, when it was mostly, encouraged or heavily influenced of being a Protestant or being from the Roman Catholic Church. But yet, this guy was a deist, and he is considered to be, sometimes, a forgotten founding father of the United States, even though he didn't really write the Declaration or do anything much besides try to get funding and propaganda for the war start, or even people to get involved in the war. Okay, and that also brings us to a little bit more into the future, in the early 1800s, right? 1810 to 1824, and going forward with that, which brings us to Robert Owen, who was very big into social reform and utopian socialism. He founded New Harmony, which basically he bought this town and filled it up with people and tried to get it to work, which I'm not a big fan of utopian socialism, but this is one of the earliest forms of any type of actual socialism, besides just a few ideas that aren't explicitly socialist within this time period. So this guy believed in the 8-hour workday before like that was even like a popular movement in the United States. He believed in like no child labor. He believed in universal suffrage, so voting for everybody within the community. It's a very insane time. He fell. They became basically adventure taverns that were less about society building, community building, and more about people gathering there to just work and then leave whenever they want to. And the big, there's a lot of errors that he did, but he started the experiment in like 1810, like, and then he, again 1824. And, his critics were like his own critics. Like, I mean, later on, after his experience kind of failed, were like Karl Marx and Frederick Engels. Because they even wrote a book, essentially Utopian Socialism versus Scientific Socialism. Frederick Engels wrote that book specifically as a critique of Owen's projects, experiments. But yeah, no, I mean, socialism's been around America for like ever. To think that America is not like America right now is not socialist. It never was actually socialist, but we have roots of socialism in America even to this day, and it's weird for people to even just be like, okay, America's not socialist. It's never socialist. We are never gonna be socialist. You know, it's like the people that like dance around and like carry those like, obscene, goofy signs around. Oh, jeez. This brings us to the the face of the Republican Party. The man himself, Abraham Lincoln, right? It's the party of Abraham Lincoln. Okay, and one of my favorite topics when Abraham Lincoln gets brought up is, besides the abolition of slavery, sharecropping, everything else, like to deal with that, was that he was in regular correspondence with Karl Marx at the time. If you know this, they were alive at the same time. Karl Marx, I think, was a little bit older than Abraham Lincoln, but they were in regular correspondence, and typically Karl Marx's writings would be passed on within the United States. Just fucking great, right? And this says two things. One, in the historical context of this, right before the Civil War of the United States, a lot of German Marxists and just Marxists in general came to the United States, either through them failing at a revolution within Europe, so they came to the United States as more of like a place to relax until and fix the atrocities within the United States, right? So they came here, we're like, okay, it's time to relax, and then just kind of like, okay, oh shit, there's a war about to happen, and then they basically got in arms and became generals, some became just soldiers, some became journalists, a lot became journalists and publishers, and these were like German Marxists. A famous one was, and that was almost as smooth as this segue, And now, let's hear it from a sponsor. Hey, I am Darren, obviously. So I'd like you to check out this other channel who's also a leftist. She's really great. She just came up with a new video about Biden's crime bill, which is fun. You should really check it out. It'd be really great, and you would enjoy it if you also like the content that I make. Might be stick around, actually. One of the famous Marxists in the Civil War was Joseph Weidemeyer. Weidemeyer? Who was a close ally and friend of Karl Marx at the time. He was considered a true socialist at the time. So even consider him to be more left than even Karl Marx on some issues. And he was a American Civil War lieutenant colonel in the Union Army. And this guy was a Marxist revolutionary. He was a politician, Marxist revolutionary, and he was also a journalist. A lot of hats under that umbrella. And again, and there's other soldiers and more men. There was also August Willich, who was a general in the Union Army during the Civil War, who was very heavily leaning socialist. And, yeah, I mean, he read Marx and everything else. And you got to understand, these ideas were, at the time, revolutionary, but they also were very easy to grasp. Because if you look at Karl Marx, in most of his writings, it's not a plan for socialism. More of it's a critique of capitalism and how it was. And some of them saw it. Some people, at least by abolitionists, saw it as a way to free slaves, to dismantle slavery, abolish slavery, and to have a working class revolution eventually. So they saw Karl Marx himself wrote about this war going on, and so did Engels, and how that slavery could be the freedom of all men. The end of slavery could be the freedom of all men. And even Abraham Lincoln saw Karl Marx's writings. They were pen pals. They discussed at war in general and how that can lead to more prosperity, at least for the United States, time. And I'm not saying Abraham Lincoln was a socialist, but I am saying close relations and close ties, maybe some influence of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels seeped into America, and it did, because the writing came out in 1848, and then after that, there's also failed European, failed German revolution that happened after the manifesto came out, which that's why we had a lot of soldiers that were Marxists and socialists in America right before the Civil War, because some of them were going to be prosecuted. And they kind of fled. So, there's that. Hey, why not flee one country for another one and then just find some war for it? Yeah, talk about a vacation, right? 2, 3. Okay, and fast forward into the late 1800s, where there was a lot of basically German immigrants and people that were reading these publications from these revolutionaries and Marxists. Where they started to do, it started to splinter off into these different things. Some joined unions, and they found that as to be trade unionists as a way to start a revolution, just have trade unionists. Some were very pro-trade. Others were, let's just do the political movement of a political party within the United States, and let's see if that could cause change through electoral politics. Some saw, hey, let's just sweep over the government like Lysander Spooner. The dude who, he's an anarchist, and he is sort of like a grandfather, almost, of anarchist and libertarian and socialist thought. Because this guy was essentially against wage labor. Well, yeah, wage labor, and he was also against the state. He tried to compete with the United States Postal Service with his own mailing company, essentially. And it charged pretty low prices at the time. It got closed down because it couldn't really manage it, it closed down because of the state. Let's be honest. It got closed down because of the state. This guy also practiced law without having a license or really anything as his credentials. And Lysander Spooner is a dear, 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 dear great influence on me at some points in my life. And there's just times there's just an insane trade unionism. Some people saw it at. Some people thought that was going to go far, and it did. Maybe not revolutionary, but it continued to grow, especially in the 1800s into the early 1900s. Early 1900s, we had the Social Democrat, the Socialist Party of the United States, and we had one of the biggest. I think we had one of the biggest or the biggest socialist parties in the world at the time. Like most of them stemmed out of New York and Chicago, but like, it's insane. We went over to fight for basically to end child labor laws, or not to enact child labor laws, and to just for women's suffrage at one point. Like, we have been there. Socialists have been there since day one, fighting for rights of everybody. And to say that we will never be a socialist country is just fucking barbaric. It's like, if you don't know history, that's essentially what it is. And sorry, you're not going to fucking learn this in a United States history book. We might learn about unions really briefly. But I'm in Texas. I think in high school I learned about unions, and I think it was like less than a day. Even though we have a spanning history of socialism, unions, and Marxists. That no one ever touches on. This isn't some fucking revisionist bullcrap. This is literally history. In a contextual sphere, this is history. In just a regular fucking basic sphere, this is history. It might not be the history you like, but it's history. Catch y'all later. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe. Hello, or to the left, or to the right. I do not know what platform this is going to be on. So, like, subscribe, share, check out our Anchor page, check out our Twitter page, check out my page. Check out everything you want to check out. Check out me. I don't really care. I'm kind of good. But, yes. All right. Have a good day, everybody. Peace.